Let's bow our hearts before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. You are the awesome God, the creator of heaven and earth. And Lord, we acknowledge you, that it is you that we have to do. It is you that judged the world. Father, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to take care of the sin that we have in our lives. You, O Lord, above all else, should be worshipped. You are worthy to be praised. I pray, Father, as your children, that we would continually praise you, that the fruit of our lips would be praise unto you. In the forefront of our mind, Lord, help us to remember that you are with us always. We thank you, Lord, that you never leave us nor forsake us. No matter how unfaithful we are, you are faithful. So we do praise you. If that wasn't enough, then we praise you, Lord, for all of the things that you're doing in our lives, for the people that are being touched because of our lives. And yea, though we blow it, you are right there to be able to make a witness for yourself to your graciousness. So, Father, we pray that you would have your way with us, that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that you would set our minds pure once more, so that we can just bask in your awesomeness. Father, I pray as we look into your word that, Lord, that you would just make it a part of us, so that we would meditate upon it day and night. As we read your scripture today in Psalm 119, and as we go through Genesis, I pray, Father, that you would indelibly write it upon our hearts and our minds so that we would think of it always. Lord, I pray that you would have your way with us. Make us into what it is that you want us to be. As we lay ourselves down before you, we ask, Lord, that you would fill us with your Spirit. Teach us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've been going through Genesis, it's been quite a journey. We see that the Lord doesn't use perfect people, mainly because there aren't any. And aren't we glad for that? When I look back at my life yesterday, y'all don't do that? You ought to. I mean, just take stock of where your mind wandered. And what it is that you were meditating on. On Wednesday, we made a big thing about the earth dwellers and those that dwell in heaven. And we know that as believers, we look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, which, by proxy, is looking forward to our own death. We don't realize that at the time. We just think, oh, glory, we're going to be raptured in the church. You know, the church is going to be raptured, and I'm going to see him face to face. But we may have to pass through that passage called death, which is just another passage to the Lord. Is it going to be any different for those that have died 2,000 years ago as opposed to people that are going to die today? No, there's no advantage, because we're all going to be at the day of the Lord at the same time. And I use time in quotation, because when we get to heaven, there is no time. In the Lord's economy, we see, and Peter tells us that a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So what is time to him? It's nothing. When he calls us home, man, it's going to be the day that the Lord calls the church home. And we'll be able to just see him face to face, look him in the eye, and glory in his presence. And that's what I look forward to. I look at the things of this earth and I say, Lord, why are we still here? Look at the things that are going on. And you know, the overwhelming answer is this: because I need a witness here in this earth, in this dark times. As we read in the psalm today, it was, hey, they've made void your law. The laws that are being passed today are so against the word of God that it's becoming null and void. That they're not even, that's not even noticeable anymore that this was a Christian nation, if it ever was. But a lot of people like to think so, because there was a majority of Christians. Oh, and this is a Christian nation. Can we say that today? I think not. Was it any different then back in Joseph's day? No, it was exactly the same. People are people, and people like water will seek the lowest level. That's what people will do. But we, being born again, are no longer of this earth. Our residence is in heaven. We are here as an ambassador to the Lord Jesus Christ. When people look at us, they see Jesus. Really? In my original statement, when I look back on my life yesterday, did I represent Jesus to the fullest extent? Did when people heard me, did they hear the Lord Jesus Christ? Or did they see this wretched person standing before you today? That's for the Lord to decide, isn't it? Didn't we just go through Genesis 38? And for those of you who weren't with us in Genesis 38, we had this little interlude. We remember the blessed brothers of Joseph that sold him into slavery, cast him headlong into a pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites. This was just the very flower of humanity. But remember, and I'll try to put this in perspective here. Remember when I said before that everything happened to the plan of God. God will do nothing that he doesn't show his servant, the prophets. Now God is dictating this to his prophet, Moses. Everything that we read in here was dictated directly to Moses, and Moses wrote them down for us. The five books of Moses, we call it that all the time. The Torah, the law of the Lord. There it is. And we know that the things that have happened, you know, they're there for our learning. And we saw with Jacob, Jacob had this dual nature. When he was Jacob, he was in the flesh, and when he was Israel, he was walking in the spirit. And we remember we said that Israel sent Joseph to see the welfare of his brothers. By faith, Jacob, or Israel, sent Joseph to Egypt by proxy. He sent him to see his brothers sold him into slavery, and Joseph ended up in Egypt. And then we had this little interlude with Judah and the wonderful antics of Judah. How he failed miserably time after time after time until the Lord finally got his will done in his life. And when he finally came clean, when Tamar brought the articles of the pledge to the people and said, "Discern, whose are these?" Judah replied, "She hath been more righteous than I." God was brought back into the forefront of his life. Confronted with those things, God was then pronounced. And he was able to change. He was able to change his outlook. In chapter 39, we see that Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him at the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Now that word officer there, a lot of the other times the word is actually eunuch. Okay? Eunuch of the castrated sort. And a lot of commentators say, well, it must not mean this because Potiphar had a wife. Now, as you grow in business, if you've ever been in the military and you increase in rank as you've been there for a while, or you've done some great duty or whatever, they'll reward you by promoting you. And I believe that Potiphar was just that instance. He rose up through the ranks until he was the captain of the guard. Keep that in mind, that phrase, captain of the guard. And so perhaps, this is just my speculation, but perhaps he, to receive that rank, had to be castrated. Just hear me out here, okay? Just keep that in your mind as we go forth, because we're going to see that Potiphar's wife says a couple of things that are just kind of unsettling, okay? Just a little food for thought. Keep that in your mind. Write that in your notepads, whatever you want to do. And verse 39 is something that you need to underline in your Bibles, mark it in your head, highlight it, however it is that you do it. Joseph was sold into slavery, and what does it say? And the Lord was with Joseph. Mark that, folks. Where are you today? Are you of the Lord? Then the Lord is with you. Always. He said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Never. So even in this instant, Joseph knew that the Lord was with him. Now, if you remember Joseph, he was the dreamer. Remember the two dreams that he had? The dream of the sheaves bowing down. His brethren would bow down to him. And then he had the dream of the sun, the moon, and the stars. And they all did obeisance to him. This was something that the Lord had given Joseph. And Joseph believed that these things were going to come to pass. Some way, somehow, he didn't know how, he didn't know when, he didn't know where, but that this was going to happen because it was a word from the Lord. His father told him that. He said, "Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren all bow down to you?" And he kept it in his heart. He pondered them. He made a mental note. He said, "What's going on with this?" So can you imagine, you know, when Jacob's sons brings him that coat full with blood and, "Oh, my son must be dead." He was in error. He was wrong. He didn't believe in the promises of the Lord. That through those dreams, Joseph was going to be elevated. That he was going to be exalted. But where did he have to go first? He had to be rejected by his brethren. Kind of like Christ came unto his own, and his own received him not. You see, Joseph is, in a lot of ways, over 100, maybe probably closer to 150 ways, is Joseph a type of Christ? If we just look and we compare the two, he came to his own received him not. And so now he's in the world. Was Jesus in the world? Yes, he was in the world. And what did he do? Well, the Lord was with Jesus, as the Lord was with Joseph. At his baptism, the Lord spoke from the heavens and says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Man, you don't get no better than that when the Lord speaks from heaven. Now, the Lord was with Joseph. Now, you and I know we really don't like to speculate about things, but put yourself in Joseph's place. You know, your father sent you to this place, and your brothers rejected you. They beat you up. They threw you in a pit, and then they sold you as a slave. And then, now I'm in this house here, and the Lord was with me. Would you be able to say that? Or would you say, "My life is over. I am in the pit of despair. How can the things of the Lord come to pass while I am here in this pit? While I am here in this as a slave in Egypt? I'll never see my brethren again. I'll never see my father again." Despair would overwhelm you. You know this to be true. Have you ever had a job that you hated? And you saw no way out? "Oh, I'm going to be here forever and I hate this. My life is over. And everything else that I thought that I was going to do for the Lord that's done. It's over." Here's Joseph being raised to rule the family. The father told him, gave him a long sleeve, long robe, because you're going to be the ruler of the family. And here he is. He's a slave in Egypt. And the Lord was with Joseph. Know, folks, that the Lord is with you always, in every instance, in every second of every day. We lose hope because we lose sight of the fact that the Lord is with us. When we fall into whatever particular sin we so easily fall into, we lose sight of the fact that the Lord is in us. Here, right in us. He has made his home in our hearts. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he came and resides here in our hearts. Know ye not, Paul would say, that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? Don't you know this? And wherever you go, you take Jesus with you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you think, whatever you say, the Lord is there with you. We need to keep that in the forefront of our minds. He is with us always. But here's something that happened with Joseph, and it happens to us too, but we fail to recognize it. That he was a prosperous man. that he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. How do you find prosperity? Do you call it wealth? Do you call it fine garments, a big house? No, he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. A Gentile. A more than Gentile. They were the rulers of the world at the time. They were the greatest force on earth. Egypt was. They were in their glory at this time. And Joseph was a slave in the house of the captain of the guard. But he was prosperous. You know how you can be prosperous? By growing in the grace and in the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what you were called for. To grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So where you are in that stinky job that you happen to have, cleaning out the sewers or whatever it is, the grease pits, the steel factory. These are nasty jobs, so trust me on this one. I had to do that. But nevertheless, we can still prosper and still praise the Lord in those situations. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we can give thanks unto the Lord. And what happened? He was a witness. He was a witness of what? That the Lord was with him. Now Potiphar, his master, saw that the Lord was with him. How did he see that? How did he know that? Was it just by osmosis? I've been around Joseph and whoa, what's this? The Lord is with you. No, it had to have come out of his mouth. Faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing by. So what was he doing? He was reciting the Word of God as he knew it. What he had been taught as a child, he was reciting that. He was here. He knew. He probably told Potiphar, you know what? I'm here because the Lord wants me to be here. And you know how he witnessed that? How he made that to be true? By doing what he was supposed to do. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord, mark it, underlined, the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Not we ourselves. Not by our great talent, by our great oratory, do we get things done. These things are filthy rags in the economy of the Lord. But the Lord does things through us as we yield ourselves to him. You don't know what to do? Ask them, okay, Lord, what would you do in this situation? What would you have me to do in this situation? Here's an impossible situation that I have no control over. What do you want me to do? And you wait for him to give you the direction. Because if we go off on our own, oh, you know how it is. Lord, what do you want me to do? Not enough time. I got to go do it myself. That's how we pray. At least that's how I pray. If you guys don't, well, you know, then bear with me for a little bit here. But we think that we have to move now, now, now. We got to have that answer ready right now, now, now. No, you don't. The Lord makes you to prosper. The Lord gives you an answer when it's time to get that answer. Sometimes it's not always right away. We see many instances of that. We're going to see it as we go through the life of Joseph. We can also look at Daniel. We can also look at any number of folks, Abraham being probably the choicest one. How long did Abraham wait for that son? Anybody remember? He was 100 years old, but he got called to the Ur of the Chaldees at 75. He waited 25 years for that promised son. I don't think there's anybody in this room that would wait 25 years for anything. Okay? Because it'd be out of date by then, and we'd want something else new. But 25 years, he hung on that one promise of the Lord. That he would have a son. And that's what he lived for. That was what he lived for his son. Verse 4. Wow, got down to verse 4. Now, I know that food in the back is going to, you know, it's distracting. I understand that, but, you know, try to keep the food here. Mind on the food here. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put into his hand. Now, remember, he's still serving his master. So many of us, We're really not our own boss. We don't have our own businesses. If you do, then disregard what I'm about to say next. We all work for somebody. And whatever it is, if it's a large corporation or whatever, the Lord put us in this place to do the best that we can do for our masters. We get a check for it. I mean, he pays us. They pay us for it. He, she, whatever. That entity pays us for it. So we should give the best that we can give. Whether it's in a factory or in an office or wherever it is, we should be giving 100%. And we should be praising God for it. Praising God through it. I find that my days, it can be pretty hairy having to deal with problems all day. That's what I have to do. I have to fix problems all day long. And it's really tough to not let that wear on you. Oh, another person. Oh, come on. Will this ever cease? Praise the Lord. That's not the first thing that comes out of my mouth, I'm afraid. I wish I could stand up here and say, praise God, that call, I bet you this is going to be an impossible thing. I'm not going to be able to do it. But what I have found is it's the Lord that gives me the ability to solve those problems. Because if I think about it, I have no idea. I really don't have any clue. I don't even know why I'm in the job that I am, but the Lord gives me the direction. He tells me what it is that I'm supposed to be able to do. And it's just, and I've been doing this for 35 years. And that's weird. That's really weird that the Lord would just show me what needs to be done in a particular instance. I marvel at the end of the day sometimes. I look at some of the tickets that I close, I'm thinking, Lord, I had no idea how to do this. But the Lord will give me in the time that I need how to fix this problem. He does it in everyday occurrences. He does it in my life. He does it in your life. But you got to give him the glory for it. Because we'll start to think, well, I must be a genius. I must be that guy. I understand now why the Lord called me into this service. What was it I said last week? All that and a bag of chips and a pickle on the side? Huh? I am it, baby. And, I'm glad they inserted double doors in the place that I work. I'd never be able to get out. But when I yield myself saying, no, it isn't me at all. It's not me. It's the one who made me. It's the one who bought me. He gives me the instance. Now you think, well, what does the Lord know about computers? Really? What does the Lord know about computers? Well, you know what? He only created the universe. He only created all of the things that you see. The human body is much more complex than any computer ever built. And yet, there's 7.6 billion people on the planet, and he's able to keep each and every one of them going, knows them intimately, all the way down to the molecular level and beyond. And he keeps them going. And he keeps those cells dividing. And he keeps those heart beating. And he keeps the lungs being filled with air. All of these involuntary things that 7.6 billion people do on this planet, he's doing it all. And that's not including, look outside. You see all the grass out there? Each and every blade of grass is being orchestrated by him. There's nothing that passes by his sight. Those grains of sand, those little tiny mites, those bed bugs that you hate so much. You know how intricate those things are put together? And there are parasites on those bed bugs that are so tiny that they can't be seen by the human eye. And he knows them intimately, each and every one. That's an awesome God. He knows all. He tells all if we're willing to listen. But we have to still ourselves. Be still and know that I am God. He tells you that. Shut up and listen. Read the Word and listen. Meditate daily upon the Word. Man, this is where your strength lies. It isn't, in the post-toasties that you have in the morning. The oatmeal or whatever it is, those green shakes that my wife makes for me every day, that's not where your nourishment comes from. It's from the hand of God. He uses those things. Thank you. I just cried out of the window. What? So we can find grace in his sight by by acknowledging that he is the doer of all of these things. That's how we get to grace. And grace is what? Unmerited favor. It's getting what we don't deserve. He pours it out. He lavishes out. I can't think of an adjective enough where he's just wanting to give it all out. Verse 5. As with all things, all good things must come to an end. You know that we serve a great God. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we have entered into a spiritual warfare. There is an enemy out there that delights in tripping us up by presenting something shiny over here so we distract our attention over here. Ooh, what's that smell? Ooh, that smells so good. I wish he'd shut up long enough so we could go eat. I know that's what you're all thinking. I can see it in you. Drools hanging down over there. Get that off of there. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught what he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. So he was a handsome person, but he was of a great character. He knew the Lord, and it was a purity of spirit that you can see on the countenance of people's faces. When you are right with the Lord, it shows through your face. It shines forth. People were attracted to Jesus not because that he was good looking. He was probably a homely guy, as Isaiah would tell us. He had no form nor comeliness that we should desire him. But it was the graciousness of his words. It was the pureness of his spirit that drew people to him. Little children wanted to be around him. Now, you know, I mean, in this day and age, we teach our children, don't go around strangers. And I'm sure they did it in those days too. But he welcomed little children because they were not afraid of him. He had a pureness of spirit. And people would gather around just to hear his words. And oh, what marvelous words he would say. Man, and people would be blessed about him. Everything that Potiphar had, he put in the hand of Joseph, and Joseph was the doer of it. And he performed marvelously. Not because it was of Joseph, but because he knew that the Lord was with him. That even through this, God was going to accomplish his purposes. Do you know that you have a purpose in the Lord's kingdom today? You do. Each and every day you have a purpose. The Lord has you here for a witness of the testimony of what he has done. That he is alive forevermore and that he is willing and able to save anyone who would call upon his name. That's why we're here. If we had no more purpose in this earth, then the Lord would take us. Just like that. As soon as our purposes are done, man, we're gone. He doesn't need us to be here anymore. All of the great people of the Old Testament, or the Old Testament and the New Testament, and the people of the past, when they have fulfilled their purpose, the Lord takes them home. It's done. But you're here because you have a purpose yet to be fulfilled. Know this. Know this. You are the Lord's servant, and he has a plan and a purpose for you. So, that being said, he was a goodly person and well-favored. And it came to pass, verse 7, after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. And he hath committed all that he hath into my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against who? Now, we in our minds would say, well, you're going to sin against his husband. But that's not in the mind of the believer. Everything we do, we weigh against the scriptures to see whether it's good to do or not good to do. If you don't know what's good to do, search the scriptures and find out what's good to do. The scripture will tell you. It's written in there. Old and New Testament. Old Testament, it's all there. First five books of Moses, there it is. You want to know what the Lord's will is for your life? It is to acknowledge him as the Lord. And these are the things, because he says, be thou holy as I am holy. And how do we become holy? By being obedient. The same way that Jesus, when he walked in this flesh, how did he demonstrate holiness? By obeying the Father. And the Father responded, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So we hear him. We hear his voice. We see what he did. We see what he's doing, even today. So Joseph had in his mind always, how do I please God? How do I please the Lord? I know what pleases God and I know what doesn't please God. I know what he's allowed and I know what he's forbidden. If you know these things, your life will be grand. Not that it won't be filled with problems, but you'll know how to respond. You'll know what to do, to go to the right hand or to the left, whichever one it is. The Lord will guide you and lead you into those things. And so he gave to Joseph, hey, I don't want to sin against God. I don't want to sin against God. Pure and simple. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. Day by day. Here's a young man, probably maybe 19 years old at this time, right? Probably, you know, hey, he's got desires, he's got urges just like everybody else. Now it brings to mind how in the scriptures it says that Jesus said that, lo, the volume of the book, it is written of me. And that the Lord will do nothing that he doesn't first tell his servants, the prophets. I think I brought that up a little bit earlier. But here's the thing. Scriptures tell us that he was tempted in all ways as we are tempted, and yet without sin. Here in this scripture here, we see that Joseph, as a type of Christ, does not yield to the temptations that are affording him. Now, folks, in this day and age and in all ages, I mean, it's nothing new, that sexual immorality has been the downfall of many folks. Many folks. Because the Lord made it so pleasurable that the ancients turned it into a worship tool. That's how they would. They had temple prophets and prophetess that would go out into the streets as, you know, as prostitutes to gain money. And all they had to do was indulge in their basest, you know, urges and desires all through the years, all the way up into our present day. I mean, you can't go on websites without being bombarded with, you know, sexual innuendos and things of that nature. And it's become part of our entertainment, God help us. But here, we can. There is a way to combat this by keeping God in the forefront of our minds. So Jesus was tempted as we were tempted, and yet without sin. He was tempted in this respect. We don't like to associate that with the life of Jesus. We think that Jesus, man, when he walked on the sand, he didn't leave footprints. That's how he was able to walk on water, because he just kind of hovered. He wasn't really a part of us. And that was in the old days, in the first century, that was a thing. People used to think that. But he was tempted in all ways so that he could identify with us. He knows our infirmities. He knows what we're tempted with. We think, oh, Lord, you see, Lord, you've never been tempted like I'm being tempted right now. You just don't know what it's like. Wrong-o, folks. He was tempted in all manner as we have been tempted, and yet without sin. So he knows. He knows what we're tempted with. Verse 11, he says, and it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Now we see what the real story is here, because the Lord is telling you. This is what the real story is. But let's see how she twists it, how she turns it. And let's be mindful of the language that she's using. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and went and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, See, he hath wrought in Hebrew unto us to mock us. And he came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until the Lord came home, that is Potiphar. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant, which thou hast brought into us, came in unto me to mock me. What caught my attention was the mocking. What does that mean? What do you mean, mocking? How can you make fun of something? And that's what mocking is, making fun of someone. So in essence, what she's saying is because that Potiphar was a eunuch, he came in and just kind of paraded himself out there. Says, this is what you ain't getting. This is, it's kind of like, so I'm thinking that maybe Potiphar was a eunuch or made a eunuch for his office. And she used that story, which would probably account for why she would, you know, keep hounding him to do those kind of a things. So, you know, it just keep your heart and your mind open as you read the scriptures. And sometimes they can speak to you, because commentary after commentary that I've read about this would always say that Potiphar was not a eunuch because he had a wife. But sometimes people are made eunuchs for the offices that they hold. So just be mindful of that. It helps along the story of why she was so adamant. You know, she wanted to have a relationship with this guy because he was what? Second in command of the house. And since the husband wasn't following through, well, maybe the second in command would follow through. You follow what I'm saying? This whole idea here. And this might be why she was so adamant. And then, you know, there is that phrase that we see, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. Well, we see it here that she invented this story that was not true, but she invented it anyway. And it came to pass when the master heard the words of his wife, that he spake unto her, saying, After this manner did thy servant unto me, that his wrath was kindled. Now, his wrath was kindled. It doesn't say his wrath was kindled against Joseph, but his wrath was kindled. I mean, really, you know, you can't be married to a woman without being sensitive to the way she is. Now, remember who Potiphar was. Anybody remember who Potiphar was? He was the captain of the guard. Okay? We might call him, the commandant of the prison. Okay? And so Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison. Okay, can't have him at the house anymore, so I'm going to put him in, I'm going to take him to work. Take your slave to work day, kind of a thing. All right? And because he saw that this was a goodly person. There's no way that Joseph would do that. I mean, I have complete confidence. You know, it's like when you hear something, a bad rumor about somebody, and you say, well, you know what? I know that person, and there's no way that they would do it. And you have to be convinced. You know, you've got to show me some evidence of that. And this guy, no, I don't think so. Yeah, you're not very trustworthy. You know, I'm not going to believe that story. I'm going to take I'm going to take Joseph's word for it, you know. But we see here that Joseph didn't defend himself here. There's no word from the Lord that Joseph made any kind of a plea or any kind of an excuse for what had happened. It's like Potiphar didn't even ask for his side of the story. So who was defending Joseph? The Lord was defending Joseph. Who defends you? The Lord defends you. You don't have to defend yourself. That's not what the Lord called you to do. You don't have to give a story. You don't have to give an account. What we really want to is, hey, it wasn't me. How much faith is it going to take for you just to let the Lord work out this thing? Because the Lord wanted him to be in the prison. You can see how the Lord is directing his life through circumstances that are beyond his control. Because what would have happened if a slave was to make an advance on somebody's wife? They kill people for less. You know? But he takes him to prison. The Lord was with him. Bless you. And the master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. Lord, if you showed me mercy, you'd let me go back home. That'd be our thought. That'd be my line of thinking. Lord, if you were merciful and if you were with me, let me go home to my father's house. But wait, you have something here for me, don't you? I have to humble myself in order to allow your will to be done. Now, Jesus said in chapter 5, I think it's chapter 5, maybe it's not. I'll have to look it up. He says, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So our will, our thought process has to end. We have to nail it to the cross. Lord, whatever you have for me is okay. Okay, prison. Can I see? Is there something you can get? Door number 2? Prison. That's where I want you to be. Prison. I want you to go from being a house slave to prison. That's advancement in God's kingdom. Just remember that, folks, when you go to work tomorrow. And the Lord showed him mercy and gave him favor in sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made to prosper. Once again, he learned from Potiphar's house that this was the way to do the will of the Lord, do the work, and praise him for it. In every circumstance, praise the Lord, because you don't know what he's doing. Now, we could go through and we could mark off, and we probably will do that when we finish up Genesis here, of how the things that look like they were blessings were actually not. And the things that weren't blessings that we would look at, they actually were. This was actually a blessing for Joseph, because now he's going to be put into the place where he's going to see two guys. And they're going to have two dreams. And there are elements going to be introduced. One will live, the other will die. One was saved and one was not saved. Jesus was hung between two criminals. One was saved and one was not saved. There were elements introduced during that time that the Lord... Bread and wine. The bread was broken, but the wine was the new covenant. And we're going to see all manner of parallels through Joseph's life and Jesus' life. We've already seen where Joseph had his coat and it was dipped in blood, but it wasn't ripped. It wasn't torn. Just like Jesus was stripped of his garment. It wasn't ripped. It wasn't torn. They gambled for it, for his vesture. So, you know, keep your prophetic ears open to see how Joseph is a type of Jesus Christ. And the reason is this, that the Lord will do nothing that he doesn't show his servant the prophet. Now, that means that he won't do anything that he hasn't first shown his servants the prophets. That means that everything that Jesus did was according to what had already been laid out in the Old Testament. Everything that Jesus did was foreordained beforehand or told beforehand through the prophets. The triumphal entry was one. We saw that on several occasions. Daniel received a prophecy from the angel Gabriel that 173,880 days after the commandment went forth to rebuild Jerusalem, the Messiah, the Prince, would show up. And on that day, that exact day, he did. Jesus even set it up. Go into the town, get the coal, get the foal, and bring it to me so that I can ride into the town. He gets to the town and he says, If thou, even thou, had known that this, what belongs to thy peace, in this thy day. The Pharisees from the, you know, Tell your servants to be quiet because they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, save now. This was the song for the Messiah to come in. He says, no, I can't. Because if I did, the very rocks would cry out. It was that day. If you'd only known what belongs to your peace. But now they're hidden from your eyes. Until the time you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And we see from Hosea and in Zechariah, we see two different scriptures that talk about when Jesus comes back the second time, it will be because the believing remnant of Jews will call him back. They will realize that they had rejected their Messiah, and they will call out, and in 3 days Jesus comes back. And that's the times of the end. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It is so complex and yet it is so simple. You have given us your Holy Spirit that allows us to just disseminate, to rightly divide the words of your truth. Father, I pray that we would put our ambitions aside, follow the path that Joseph had laid out before us, knowing that you are with us and that you have a plan and purpose for each and every one of us. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.